Father, we just thank you for Christmas. We thank you, Lord, for one another. We thank you, Lord, that we can come aside from our busy week, and we're all very busy people, just for this little hour and a half, just to worship you, to enjoy each other's company, and Lord, just to hear your word. And Father, we just pray, Lord, right now, that you'll give us ears to hear what God has to say for us all. And Father, as we just go through this message, pray, Holy Spirit, you'll just come. Breathe upon people. Pray for people here today who need a fresh touch from God. Those looking for encouragement. Those, Lord, who just need the peace of God. Lord, as we just progress through this message, Holy Spirit, do a deep work in people's lives today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is not a Christmas message. I'm going to be speaking next week, and there's a really high chance I'll bring a Christmas message next week. But I have to, when I prepare a message, I go very much by what's going on inside my spirit. And, you know, and always got the radar up, the antenna up, saying, Lord, what do you want to say today? So I've got a message that's going to go for about 25 minutes. Who can listen that long? And if I say anything that's moderately interesting, who can shout out hallelujah? That was good. That was good. Actually, I've got a little scripture to read. And it's not on the screens. Romans chapter 12. Title of the message today is called The Church. And Romans 12. And this message might make you feel a bit uncomfortable today, but who's okay with that? You know. Romans chapter 12. Verse 9 and 10. It's just two verses. I just want to begin with this. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Let's talk about the church. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Who remembers Back to the Future, that movie? Yeah. I really, or three, it was three movies, wasn't it? I really enjoyed it. I think the first one was the best, but they were terrific. Well, with that in mind, if you were able to travel all the way back in time to the first century, so that's 2,000 years into the past, and if you went up to one of the early Christians, and if you said to them, or asked them if you could go to church with them, they would not understand your question. Yet to you, can I come to church with you? That's a reasonable question. But you see, for a Christian in the first century, they did not understand what it meant to go to church. Going to church, just saying going to church, would have been a completely nonsensical statement to a first century Christian. And that's because the Christians in the first century understood that the followers of Jesus Christ are the church 24/7. It never occurred to an early Christian that a building or a worship service should be called a church like it is today. In fact, church buildings, and a bit later on cathedrals, but church buildings didn't actually start to be built until the 3rd century. They started building a few then, at the earliest, 3rd century. Until then, Christian people like us, they would just simply gather for worship in people's homes, or in barns, or hired halls, or even under trees. So since those days, early days, it appears that the word church, can we say church together? Church. It would appear that the word church has become a funny old word that's been severely distorted in its meaning. For example, for some people today, the word church means a musty, smelling building that is used for boring, irrelevant services. Who's noticed sometimes when you visit some churches, they all smell the same? I think it's a lingering body odor. I don't know what's going on. But you know that musty smell? I used to go to a church that had a musty smell to it. For some people, the word church means a religious institution that tries to impose old-fashioned values upon the rest of society. And tragically today, for some people, the word church even carries negative emotional baggage. Am I right? You know, we know it's all been in the news and stuff that happens. So it's very sad that the word church has become distorted to mean something other than what God originally intended. Amen. And that's especially true because the word church represents, ladies and gentlemen, something that really is very beautiful. Amen. Church is actually one of the names from the Bible that describes you. It describes Christians. The word church means a company of people who together are called out from the world to follow and worship Jesus Christ. That's really what it means. And that's who we are this morning. Amen. Together, 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 we're called out from the world to follow Jesus Christ, to worship Jesus Christ. We are the church and God lives within us. Amen. So the church, and I mean this with absolute sincerity, the church, as I have just described, is beautiful. It is the most beautiful group on the face of the earth. So whenever you read your Bible, I trust that you do, and you see the word church, it's in the Bible, I think, about 152 times. Remember that the word church never ever refers to buildings. It doesn't refer to cathedrals. It doesn't even refer to an institution of powerful religious people. And it never actually in the Bible refers to a religious service. God does not dwell in buildings or events. God dwells within his called out people.
Amen.
Amen. So the word church in the Bible, it either when you're reading your Bible, it either describes a local Christian community like we are. We're a local Christian community. You'll go down the road and our Baptist brothers and sisters are down there and over to this church and over that church. They're local Christian communities. And often in the Bible, the word church refers to local Christian communities. Amen. Or the word church in the Bible can refer to Christians as a huge group in a city like the church in Perth. Or it can even mean all Christian people spread out all over the world. Isn't that a great picture, by the way? That's Reinhard Bonnke. I think he's preaching to about a million people. How about that? Wouldn't it be great to be in the middle of that crowd? Yeah, amen, amen. So we are church. I'll say it again. We are church. Absolutely. So keep that in mind, because that's really important. This is a foundation for what I really want to say in a few minutes. But something else is part of the foundation. If you're able to travel all the way back in time to the first century, and if you ask the Christians what denomination they belong to, they will just blink at you and be confused by your question. And that's because at the beginning of the church, there were no denominations. There was no such thing. There were no Pentecostals. I mean, what's that, you know? There's no Baptists. What's that? There was no Roman Catholics. There was no Church of England. Think of all the denominations, and none of them existed in the first century. There was only one group in the first century, and the group was those who followed Jesus Christ. Just one church, one group. Denominations and labels came later on, and there seems to be more coming every single day. But this is, I'm telling you the truth here about God. God isn't into denominations and religious traditions like we are today. They're important to us, but they're not important to God. The Bible doesn't even talk about denominations. So when you stand before God on the day of judgment, God will not discuss with you the denomination that you belong to. It's irrelevant. He doesn't care. It means nothing to him. God is only interested in your allegiance to Jesus Christ and your love for his church, his chosen people. Am I right? You know I'm right. You know I'm right. So today we've got lots of church buildings everywhere, and I don't think that's a bad thing, but it's just how it is. We've got lots of church buildings, we've got lots of cathedrals, and we've got countless denominations. And while those things impress people and provide a function, God is not really impressed by them at all. Rather, God has his eye on the church all over the world. You know, those beautiful people, young and old, who meet in all sorts of places, from meeting in cathedrals right through to former pot black centres to homes, through to mud huts, and for the Christians who still meet under trees. And his church, the Church of Jesus Christ, is drawn from many countless denominations. And the church is also drawn from different countries and different cultures. But the church together belongs to Almighty God. Really important we understand what we're thinking about when we say the word church. And God loves the church. I'll say it again. God loves his church. And what an honor it is to be part of the church. It is an honor for me. It is an honor for you to be part of the church. Now, of course, we know in the Bible that the Bible has other names for the followers of Jesus Christ. Names such as the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, God's family, a holy nation, and other descriptions of the people of God. But the thing about the church is that it's God's name for us Christians as a community. Really important to understand this. As a community, we are called out from belonging to the world, and the church is about us, believers, being joined together. And that's because God is a God of community. And God looks for those people who want to be in community with him. The first verse in the Bible, does anybody know what it says? It's right on the screen, isn't it? In the beginning. Amen. Sounded like you're all speaking in tongues then. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Absolutely, he did. Later it says that God saw everything that he had made and he said it was good. Good. But did you know that there's actually one thing about the creation that God said was not good? God saw something that needed fixing. It says in Genesis 2:18, the Bible says that God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. It is not good. It is not good for the man to be alone." This is a profound statement. And that is because Adam was made in the image of God. And like God, Adam was now a being who was designed for community. Absolutely, absolutely. So God resolved the issue by creating Eve out of Adam's rib. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He improved on the work he had done with Adam. Amen. Made the woman. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But this is the thing. Eve was made out of his rib. And I really do believe that. Literally. Eve was also made in the image of God, and she was also designed for community. So every day, God met with Adam, and he met with Eve, and the three of them came together. And so began the world's first tiny community. God, Adam, Eve. And it was a glorious community. God, the creator of heaven and earth, came in human form, and he joined himself to them, and they joined themselves to each other, and then together they enjoyed fellowship within the Garden of Eden. We can only try to imagine. It's hard to conceptualize what that actually meant and what it felt like. But if you can use your imagination, imagine what it was like for Adam and Eve to walk and talk with God almost as if they were equals. And that was what God was always looking for. And God delighted himself in that tiny little community. But we all know how Adam and Eve were deceived, fell into sin, and community with God was lost. We know that. But in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, we read about Jesus Christ coming again. We read about the judgment day of God. We read about the book of life, and we read about heaven. But the one thing most people miss when they read the book of Revelation, that is all about the full restoration of God's lost community. The Bible begins with divine community in Genesis in the Garden of Eden, and the Bible finishes with divine community in the book of Revelation. Is everybody listening carefully? This is really important. And God calls this final community, this final divine community, this restored community. God calls this new community the New Jerusalem. And that's a real funny name, isn't it? That's a funny name for God's future community, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21. But in the Bible, the old city of Jerusalem, the current city of Jerusalem, the old city of Jerusalem in the Bible, it became a metaphor for God's place where he did community with Israel, with his people. And God in the book of Revelation is using that same metaphor of Jerusalem to say that one day that special community that God longs for will be fully restored and whole in heaven. It will be the New Jerusalem. Revelation 21:3 triumphantly and prophetically declares, look, God's home is now among his people. What was lost is now being restored or being restored. Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. That's a prophecy I've just read. What was lost in Eden will be fully restored in heaven, in the afterlife, the New Jerusalem. Question for you. Have you ever wondered why you exist? Have you ever wondered why you exist? I think we all have. Of course we all have. Everybody wonders at some point in their life, why do I exist? Why am I even here? What's my purpose? Why did God even make me? Why do I exist? And the answer to such a deep question, it is a deep question, an important question, by the way. The answer to such a deep question lies within this mystery of God's divine community. You are a wonderfully complex creature. You are destined to reach your full potential in eternity, without a doubt. But the truth is, you have many purposes, but your primary purpose and reason for existing is that you have been called out by God to be part of the New Jerusalem. Amen. The New Jerusalem, God's community, is where you belong. It's where you've always belonged. God's future community is what you are made for. It's your right fit. That's where you will be complete, you'll be whole, and where you will function at your best. God is honoring you by inviting you to be in his church today so you can be in the New Jerusalem tomorrow. And it begins by being born again today. Amen. And God desperately wants you. On his mind all the time because he loves you and he desperately wants you to be in his eternal family and enjoy this true community so he can walk with you. And this New Jerusalem that I'm talking about today, this New Jerusalem community, is the most significant plan of all history on earth and in heaven. It's God's significant plan for all eternity. This is really big what I'm talking about today. Really big. And so the Bible says this, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. The great apostle Paul caught just this tiny glimpse of God's future restored community, and he called it a divine mystery. And no wonder the Bible then encourages us today, set your sights on the realities of heaven because the best is yet to come. One rapture and we're all out of here with Jesus forever and ever. Set your sights on the realities of heaven. You're feeling blue today? Lift up your eyes and set your sights on the realities of heaven. This situation you're in today will soon pass. The new Jerusalem is coming. Amen. Amen. But we're not in heaven today. Has anybody noticed? Today we're in Gosnells. Amen. And it's nearly Christmas. It's a crazy season, the silly season. And it's been really hot. Later on at the end of the week, there's 2 days, going to be over 40 degrees. Amen. Thank God for Australia. Amen. Life is a struggle at times. It is. Life's a struggle for everybody at times. And mind you, it's not always a struggle. Sometimes we have a lot of good times too. Amen. But life is a struggle at times. And the vibe of the world is pretty hostile to you. It's pretty hostile to God and Christians. So with that and everything I've said, we come right back to this funny old word. This funny old word, the church. We are church. We are the current community of God on earth. We are the new Jerusalem in waiting. Amen. And we are God's joy and delight. So in view of all of this, this is what the Bible says. Think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together. Don't whack church. Amen. Just saying. Only if you're sick. Yeah, if you're sick, keep your bugs with you and stay home. Amen. Yeah. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Romans 12:10, I read it a bit earlier. It says, love each other with genuine affection. Wow. So clearly, God puts a priority on believers being connected to the church, kind of church I've just discussed. Loving the church, that's a priority to God. Caring for other believers in the church, doing good to other believers, praying for the church, and doing community together. Now, me just even saying that can make us all feel a little bit uncomfortable. These kind of comments. Love each other with genuine affection. Are you serious? Message was good up until that last line. Amen. Love each other with genuine affection. And we get uncomfortable with this kind of thing I'm just talking about right now. And the reason why we get uncomfortable with it is because we live in a culture that constantly elevates the priority of the individual over the value of community. This has been happening for decades, by the way. Actually, it goes all the way back to the Renaissance, but it's worse now than it's ever been. Elevating the individual over the value of the community. And it's killing us, by the way. And we, and not anybody here at Real Life Church, we, people, our culture even elevates the priority of the individual over the ways of God. If it feels good for you, then just go right ahead and do it. Yeah, that's the mantra of our culture today, and we all know that. And I guess we all recognize that we're a selfish, self-centered culture. Australia is an incredibly selfish country where everyone is in it for themselves. It's all about me, all about mine. I think we'd say that's reasonable, what I've just said. And our culture splashes. It's like, you know, walking down the street when it's raining. Can you remember those days when it used to rain? And you know, there's a big puddle on the road and a bus comes and it splashes a puddle all over you. Actually, right now, that's really appealing, isn't it? But our culture splashes on us Christians too. In fact, it more than splashes on us. Even though we're Christian, even though we love Jesus with all of our hearts, we actually get immersed within this focus on the individual in our culture. And without us even really being aware of it. And then we bring that mindset, again, without being aware of it. We bring that mindset of selfishness and sense of self-importance into our walk with Jesus without realizing that we're actually doing it, because that's everybody's doing it, you know? And then because you do that, it messes with the way God wants to get us prepared for the New Jerusalem. And so what happens to a lot of Christians, and if I look at you right now, it doesn't mean I'm accusing you of doing it. And so what tends to happen is that we become consumers within the church. rather than develop into caring members of God's beautiful community. And a lot of modern preaching, I don't often say this, and I'll be very careful. A lot of modern preaching, I listen to sermons every week from all around the world. A lot of modern preaching today, and a lot of our church culture feeds the selfish nature instead of challenging the selfish nature. And today, I don't want to feed your selfish nature. I want to feed you the truth of God's word that sets you free and prepares you for the new Jerusalem. And so I've got a little bit more truth to talk to you about. God loves the lost sheep. Amen? But God does not work with the lone sheep. God loves the lost sheep, but God does not work with the lone sheep who have deliberately disengaged themselves from the church. Because God's nature is community. It can't work like that. Now, I've already acknowledged that we can, you know, be hurt in church. You know, I said some people have got negative emotional baggage because of what's happened in church. And you know, that's a bad thing, right? That's a bad thing. I've acknowledged we can be hurt by Christians. And over the years, I've been attacked and hurt lots of times. Oftentimes, Rochelle's always pulling another knife out of my back. Goes with the territory. But, you know, the truth is, you know, and I've been hurt by people who said they were Christian. Actually, they were. A lot of them were. But you know what? I want to own up and I want to admit and confess before God. I've actually hurt people too. Because a bit of selfishness comes out of me too. So I've been hurt, but I think I've hurt some too, you know. It goes both ways, doesn't it? But what I want to really say is, but reacting to the dumb behavior of others by disengaging from the body of Christ is just the worst thing you can do. Because God expects us all his children, to belong to a local church, to a community, and to learn to love and to learn to appreciate God's flawed and imperfect people. Now, some people say, well, I just don't need church. I just don't need other Christians. They're too painful to be with. I don't need other pesky Christians. And I don't need the church. I've just got Jesus. It's just me and Jesus and the Word. That's all I need. Well, you do need Jesus. You really need His Word. But you also really need the church. Warts and all, sorry, you need us. You need other believers. Remember God said about Adam, it's not good for the man to be alone. Yet, when you think about it, Adam had God. So in a sense, Adam was not alone. Yet God still made Eve for Adam. God made another person. And so Adam was actually only complete once he joined himself to God and to another person with whom he could do community. And the community was the only way he could be fruitful. You needed an Eve and an Adam to have babies. You need to be in community to be fruitful. It's the same today. Adam is a picture of everybody in this room. We need God, but we need other believers too. You need God, you need the church, and the church actually really needs you. I need you, and this might come as a surprise, you need me too. Finally, sort of, just about in 2 minutes. Have you ever seen some of those nature shows? David Attenborough does those, and I don't watch much of David Attenborough because Rochelle can't stand his voice. And he's also an atheist. Yeah. Michelle won't listen to anything if it's an atheist. I just like the photography. Yeah. Anyway, it's just an issue we have. Anyways, it's an issue in our community. But have you ever seen those nature shows, wherever, David Attenborough or whatever, where a group of zebras or a deer are being stalked by lions? And you just think, no, And sometimes I have to turn it over because I can't bear to watch what happens next. The lions actually will not attack the herd straight on. They just won't do it. Because collectively, even with zebras, the herd can fight back against the lions. The herd is a place of safety for the zebras. So the lions will look for the zebra. We're Australians, okay. Look for the zebra who's wandered off on their own. You know this. If the lion cannot see a zebra by itself, then the lions are very clever. Then what they do, they try to confuse a herd. Sometimes they'll run randomly around the herd or charge at the herd of zebras, just to confuse the zebras. And they keep doing it, to try and break the herd up until eventually they've got one zebra out by itself. When the zebra is out by itself, it's all over Red Rover. The lone zebra is in real trouble and he becomes the lion's next meal. The Bible says, stay alert. Pay attention. Those crazy thoughts in your head about nobody loves you anymore, that's not from God. That's from those devils. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I want to finish this message with this thought. Don't be the devil's next lunch. Be alert. Stay with the herd. Even if somebody's offended you, if I forget to shake your hand, still come back to church next Sunday. Stay with the herd. Amen. And it's not just about Sunday. It's about community. Amen. There's an indescribable and divine benefit that comes from doing community with the church. God honors you by inviting you to be part of his church today so you could be part of the new Jerusalem tomorrow. And so, this is the finish. I'm asking you all, this is a challenge. I'm asking you all, it's a double dare. No, triple dare. I'm triple daring you all to think of our church services and our church community a little differently. Let's just try and do it. And in view of God's call for us community, I double dare, triple dare you, and I triple dare myself to look for someone, this is it, look for someone you can encourage and motivate each time you come to church. Wow, that's pushing it, isn't it? How radical is that? Being kind to people in church. Who's heard of that? And what if we went radical? And we made it a habit to come to the worship service regularly with the goal of intentionally encouraging someone else. And imagine if you, even after the service is finished in 2 minutes' time, you found somebody and went and encouraged them. This week I was chatting with a new member who's joined our church. She said to me this. She says, I've decided that once a week I'm going to look for somebody different in church to take out for a cup of coffee. And I thought to myself, that is absolutely brilliant. So on the front page of your newsletter and on the screen right now, I just put a list of ideas. Send a text of message of encouragement. Send a card of encouragement. There's a whole list. I don't even want to read through it. Go to the next screen. Oh, look, another list. Take someone to the movies. Pray with someone. How about that? Next list. Visit a senior in our church. Bless someone with a bar of chocolate. Share a smile. Walk with a new person to the Connect Lounge. Next list. Celebrate someone else's good news. Don't scowl. Be pleased. Here's the next one's a biggie. Listen to someone else talk without butting in with your own better story. Be patient with someone when they annoy you. Forgive someone. I've got most of these are actually on the front page of your newsletter because I think it's time to make real life church church again. Amen. Church again. Come on, let's stand on our feet, shall we?